You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King.
Carl. I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King. Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to When It Was Cool Wrestling. I'm Carl Stern, Dragon King Carl. Thank you very much for joining me here today in our rotation of classic professional wrestling audio shows. We are around to our longest running series, which is the long form history of pro wrestling, where we've been going day by day, month by month, year by year over the history of pro wrestling. We started way back in antiquity and really started picking up a very detailed look at the history of wrestling in the mid 1800s. And for over 70 episodes now, we've continued, and we're up to May of 1983. And I hope you will support this project. This project, it comes to you by way of our Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone over at whenitwascool.com. That's where you'll find the timeline at. I add about 100 pages a month of wrestling history to this. I go through the work of many other wrestling historians. I have thousands of newsletters, thousands of results, thousands of wrestling documents. I have other wrestling historians helping me out. One, Paul Sosnowski, has put a lot of research in with corrections and additions to this, plus what I do of my own accord. It is a chronicling a history of professional wrestling, and I hope you feel that's important, that we have an accurate, very, very detailed history of pro wrestling. You can support this project at whenitwascool.com by becoming a Patreon supporter at any of our levels. And not only will you be helping this project continue, but you will have instant access to over 2,000 podcasts dealing with retro pop culture, pro wrestling history, and more. So visit us at whenitwascool.com. All right, so let's go there right now. Let's go to whenitwascool.com, Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone. Let's go to 1983. Scroll down to May. And let's get to it. May 1st, 1983, we have three notes here. One of which, I don't have complete results for this card, or perhaps it was under 5,000, but a historically significant moment took place. Greg Valentine defeated the NWA United States champion Roddy Piper to win the title in Greensboro, North Carolina. You know, in about a year later, these two are going to be stars in the WWF, of course. Roddy Piper was a major player there in the WWF as the top heel rival for Hulk Hogan. You're going to see a lot of that in 1983. Pay attention to how many of these folks are elsewhere versus what happens as the big national push continues and expands for WWF. Matter of fact, let's go down to the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia for Georgia Championship Wrestling. A man's going to be wrestling on this show, losing a match, and yet at the end of this year, he's going to be the WWF Heavyweight Champion. At the Omni in Atlanta, Tony Atlas defeats the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair by disqualification. Tony Atlas had been a big star in Georgia Championship Wrestling for a long time, and hey, he's going to be going to WWF in the not-too-distant future as well, where he and Rocky Johnson will be World Tag Team Champions. The tag team of Tommy Rich and Paul Orndorff defeat the team of Killer Brooks and Larry Zbysko. And yes, this is that era. A lot of people feel like Georgia Championship Wrestling kind of peaked a little bit before this. This is the selling of the national title era to Larry Zbysko. A lot of people don't look back that fondly on this era, but it is newsworthy to be sure. I actually probably saw the most of Georgia Championship Wrestling around this time period, and so I kind of remember it fondly. Obviously, Paul Orndorff becomes a big deal in WWF as well in the not-too-distant future, about a year or so from now. In a singles match, Dick Murdoch defeats Buzz Sawyer by count-out. Ronnie Garvin defeats the Iron Sheik, and yes, in just less than 6 or 7 months later, Iron Sheik is the WWF Heavyweight Champion. It's how quickly things can change. The tag team of Matt Bourne and Arn Anderson defeat Tito Santana and Brian Blair. Now, this is Arn Anderson's first big kind of national push under the name Arn Anderson. He had came up from Mid-South Wrestling as the enhancement wrestler Marty Lundy. He bore a resemblance to Ole Anderson, and so he got that name, and they hooked him up with Matt Bourne. And for a lot of people, this would have been the downfall of their career, because this team doesn't last very long, because Matt Bourne gets in trouble. And again, if you go to whenitwascool.com, go to the When It Was Cool Wrestling podcast, you'll find one of our true crime podcasts about Matt Bourne and the trouble he got in. He got in some really bad trouble up in Ohio that ended up with him getting fired from the from Georgia Championship Wrestling. And the national tag team titles end up being vacated, and they're not won but given to the Road Warriors. And yes, we're going to see the rise of the Road Warriors very soon. This kind of left Arn Anderson out there in the cold. Like, what do you do with Arn Anderson now? Before this year's up, Arn Anderson's going to be down in one of the smaller territories, Pensacola, the Ron Fuller Southeastern promotion, under a mask, wrestling as Super Olympia. So, yeah, I mean, that quick it went. Now, we know Arn Anderson made a great recovery from that. He was a tremendous talent. But, hey, for a lot of wrestlers, maybe they don't ever come back from this. I don't know. Very interesting to see just how changeable things are in 1982-1983. 1984 and 85 is going to be a completely different wrestling universe than was 1981 and 82. Like, almost to the point you can't tell the difference. Also in this Omni card, we have Ray Candy beating Chick Donovan and Bob Roop defeating Joe Lightfoot. Now, also on May 1st, 1983, we got a big show, and boy, I wish there was more video footage available from the UWA down in Mexico. They're at the El Torreo Stadium. They have 25,000 people there. Yes, a huge card. Wrestling in Mexico is really, really hot during this time period. The results of this show are Abdullah Tamba and Chuchillo and Escorpión One defeat the team of George Takano, yes, the future Cobra, the future Super Strong Machine, Junji Harada, and Masa Saito. So we get some New Japan talent in there as well. Irma Gonzalez defeat La Monster and Lola Gonzalez. Dory Dixon, who's, we've been talking about him recently on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame ballot. Dory Dixon teams up with Rayo de Jalisco to beat the team of Cojas and Zandakan One. El Signo and Negro Navarro and El Tejano defeat the team of Enrique Vera, Mano Negra, and Villano Three. Whole bunch of Hall of Famers in that match. And finally, straight from New Japan Pro Wrestling, yes, Tatsumi Fujinami defeats the UWA World Heavyweight Champion Konnect to win the title. Yeah, Konnect really used that UWA World title against big name stars and champions from other places. He wrestled Hulk Hogan famously, Andre the Giant famously, Stan Hansen, Tatsumi Fujinami. Yeah, he was booked as a huge world beater star down there in Mexico for the UWA. That's just on the 1st. Yeah. So it's a packed month. May 2nd, 1983, WWF champion Bob Backlund defeated the WWF Intercontinental champion Don Morocco in Ogdensburg, New York. A big show at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee sees the return of Andy Kaufman to the ring to team up with the Colossus of Death. That's Duke Myers wearing a rubber mask in front of a crowd, and this is one of the biggest Mid-South Coliseum crowds in a long time. They've been averaging about half a full building, somewhere just over or under 5,000 people. Well, this draws 9,194 people. The results are Jerry Lawler defeated the Colossus of Death and Andy Kaufman in a handicap match. Odds are, if you've ever seen any Memphis compilation tapes, you've probably seen this match with the Colossus of Death and his wacky rubber mask out there. But also on the show, we had Carl Fergie defeated Sonny King. Terry Taylor defeated the Ace of Spades, and the Ace of Spades is a masked Tommy Gilbert. Steve O defeated the Galaxian. This is probably Ken Wayne. Stagger Lee, we've talked about him for quite a while now. This is Coco Ware in Memphis. But Stagger Lee and Mad Dog and the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, defeated the team of Bobby Eaton, the Bruise Brothers, who are Porkchop Cash and Dream Machine, and the Lone Ranger. Yes, the Lone Ranger, for Pete's sake. Not, what was the Lone Ranger's real name? John, goodness, I'm a big fan of the Lone Ranger, and I completely blanked out on what his real name is. But anyway, no, it's not him. It's Stan Frazier. Yes, Uncle Elmer, literally wearing a Lone Ranger outfit, if you can believe such a thing. What a match that was. Bill Dundee defeated Dutch Mantell in a bullwhip match. The Moondogs, Rex and Spot at this point, defeated the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, in a stretcher match. All right. On May the 3rd, 1983, Rick Martel defeated the AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Bockwinkel in Salt Lake City, Utah. But, you know, hang on just a minute. He doesn't win the title just yet. That's coming, of course. And I liked AWA World Champion Rick Martel. Like, I really enjoyed him. I know most people obviously remember him from, you know, his time as the model Rick Martel in the WWF, or maybe even you're a Strike Force fan or Can-Am Connection fan or whatever, but I really liked AWA era Rick Martel. By the way, Lone Ranger was John Reed, R-E-I-D, the great uncle, by the way, of the Green Hornet. Yes, the Green Hornet, that character. More on that, go to whenitwascool.com. We reviewed a lot of those, the old serials and so forth. And a lot of people don't know those are in the same universe. And I guess maybe Uncle Elmer's there too. What can you imagine Uncle Elmer showing up to fight Bruce Lee, who played Kato in the Green Hornet? Wow, what a matchup that was. You know, it was round about that time that Stan Frazier was playing the convict out in Los Angeles. So could you imagine Stan Frazier, Uncle Elmer, showing up on the 1966 Batman series or the Green Hornet or something like that? Oh my gosh, dressed as a Lone Ranger, no less. What a mushroom-induced psychotic fantasy that would be. That's just crazy stuff. Anyway, back to the real world, I guess. The real world of work professional wrestling. May 3rd, 1983, Bret Hart defeated Leo Burke to win the Stampede North American title in Regina, Canada. May the 5th, 1983, Jerry Lawler beats the AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel by disqualification in Lexington, Kentucky. It'll be a few years before Jerry Lawler gets to keep the AWA World title for real. He would get it in 1988, of course, from Kurt Hennig. May the 7th, 1983, in San Antonio, Texas, the Sheepherders, your future Bushwhackers, believe it or not, Luke Williams and Butch Miller, they defeat the Grapplers, the team, the mass team of Lynn Denton and Tony Atlas, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony to win these. See, the Lone Ranger got me thrown off my horse, I guess. I'm just all discombobulated here. Let's pull it together, Carl. May 7th, 1983, San Antonio, Texas, the Sheepherders, Luke Williams and Butch Miller defeat the Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony to win the Southwest Tag Team titles. I think by this point in time, they were using those belts that looked like cowhide. Like, that was really a thing. Google that up. Those belts are not my favorite, but they are certainly among the most distinct title belts ever presented in professional wrestling. If you've never seen the Cowhide Championships, well, that's a Google image you need to look up. May the 8th, 1983, Jack and Jerry Briscoe win a tag team tournament for Jim Crockett Promotions in Savannah, Georgia, to earn a shot at the NWA World Tag Team titles. In the tournament, they defeated One Man Gang and Kelly Kaniski, also Great Kabuki and Magic Dragon, and finally Jake Roberts and Dory Funk Jr. And remember, we've been talking for several shows now since for several months now, the NWA World Tag Team belts, as presented, I guess, by Jim Crockett Promotions and Georgia Championship Wrestling, both kind of co-recognize these World Tag Team belts. They have not had any continuity whatsoever. They've had tournaments. They've had people be the champions and then mysteriously not be champions no more. Maybe there was a tournament in Japan. Maybe there wasn't. Like, they couldn't figure out what to do with these NWA World Tag Team belts. And here yet again is another convoluted sort of tournament. And it's going to go on for a little bit more before we finally nail down who the heck are the NWA World Tag Team champions. Well, maybe we'll get it sorted out here before this year is over. May the 9th, 1983, it's a Monday night. We go back to Memphis, Tennessee. Mid-South Coliseum. We got about a couple thousand less people this time, but it's still a respectable card of 7,618. The Ace of Spades, Tommy Gilbert, goes to a draw with King Cobra. The Porkchop Cash and Dream Machine, yes, the Bruise Brothers, beat the team of Carl Fergie and Bobby Fulton. Steve O and Terry Taylor beat the Galaxians, that's your Nightmares under a different name, Ken Wayne and Danny Davis. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, beat the Grapplers by forfeit. Yes, these will be the same Grapplers, Tony Anthony and Lynn Denton. They're going to come to Memphis. They're going to work as the Grapplers. They're also going to work unmasked as the Dirty White Boys. So we'll follow their exploits here as we go along. Yes, the Lone Ranger rides back into town if he can find a horse big enough to carry him, as Bobby Eaton and the Lone Ranger team together to beat the Stagger Lee version of Coco Ware and Mad Dog. Jerry Lawler beats the Colossus of Death again, Duke Myers. Jackie Fargo teams up with his new Fabulous One member, Stan Lane, to beat the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, in a stretcher match. Bill Dundee beats... Dutch Mantell beats Bill Dundee in a hair versus title match. Dutch Mantell gets to keep his hair, and he wins the Southern Heavyweight title from Bill Dundee. May the 10th, 1983. Here we go, big deal here, newcomer to the WWF. Sergeant Slaughter interferes with the WWF champion Bob Backlund's Harvard step test during a TV taping in Allentown, PA. Yes, Bob Backlund would do these weird exercise gimmick deals, one of them being the Harvard step test, where he would walk up. Basically, it was a Stairmaster before the days of Stairmaster. He would do this for an entire TV taping, trying to set records and show off just how, you know, in shape he was. Well, Sergeant Slaughter's having none of this, interrupts it. Now we're about to get, I mean, this is the least significant thing that happens. I leave it in here because of historical significance. Many people remember it. Sergeant Slaughter interrupts the Harvard step test. Well, the next most serious thing that happens, and you're going to hear this and you're going to think, oh my God, how is that not the most historically impactful thing to happen on this date? Eddie Gilbert is in a very serious car accident and breaks his neck. Yes, he has been an enhancement wrestler, a lower card wrestler there in the WWF. He's been on TV a lot. Yes, Eddie Gilbert, who would later be, you know, the Jerry Lawler associated Southern superstar, booker, promoter, you know, get a big push in Memphis and in Mid-South Wrestling, and later even in WCW after they had bought out UWF Wrestling. That same Eddie Gilbert breaks his neck. It looks like his career may be over. But that is not yet the most significant thing that happens. Also following the show, Jimmy Snuka's girlfriend, Nancy Argentino, is found dead in their hotel room. Over 30 years later, Jimmy Snuka is charged with murder in the case, though he dies before it can go to trial. At the time, the death was ruled an accident. Yes, we're going to hear more about this throughout the year, but May 10th, 1983, what a news-packed day for the WWF. They do a memorable angle with Sergeant Slaughter and Bob Backlund. Eddie Gilbert breaks his neck in a car wreck. And Nancy Argentino is killed presumably by Jimmy Snuka. He is ultimately charged with it, or at least indicted for it, though he never manages to go to trial as he passes away. He's already in his old age, suffering from dementia and other health issues. There are other notes or other things that actually happened. May 10th, 1983, promoter Frank Tunney dies at the age of 70. Yes, from the Tunney Promotions up in Toronto, Canada, the brother of WWF figurehead president Jack Tunney. And finally, on May 10th, 1983, FA Cup Final Day. Wrestling special in 1983 in Basilan, United Kingdom, shown on TV on May 21st, but it takes place on this date on ITV. Big Daddy and Kid Chocolate beat the Masked Marauders in three falls. Now, I'm in no way expert of British professional wrestling. I don't know who Kid Chocolate is, nor do I know who the Masked Marauders are, but I know Big Daddy is one of the most divisive pro wrestling legends maybe ever in history. People either think he is one of the most, the Hulk Hogan of the UK, one of the most significant wrestling stars ever, or they utterly hate him and find him as an embarrassment. It's very interesting anytime you get on the topic of Big Daddy. May the 13th, 1983, WWF is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Civic Arena. The attendance, 14,000 people. Mike Scully defeats Baron Mikel Cicluna by DQ. Ray Stevens goes to a draw with Tony Garea. Rocky Johnson defeated the Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco in a Texas death match. Jimmy Snuka pins Mr. Fuji. Johnny DeFazio pins Bill Dixon. Swede Hansen pins Barry Hart. Now, this is Barry Horowitz working under the name Barry Hart at this point in time. And the WWF champion Bob Backlund beats Ivan Koloff. May the 14th, 1983, we followed the WWF now down to Boston, Massachusetts, the Boston Garden. Attendance there is 10,900 people. Mac Rivera defeats Fred Marzino. Pete Sanchez defeats Pete Doherty. SD Jones defeats Jose Estrada. Tony Garea beats Ray Stevens by disqualifications. Mr. Fuji defeats Swede Hansen. Jimmy Snuka, who is, you know, this has just happened. We know what we just talked about. Yes, he's going to be wrestling. Jimmy Snuka defeats Samula, that is Samu, who's working with the Wild Samoans at this point in time, while Sika's out with an injury. Chief J. Strongbow beats Iron Mike Sharp by DQ. WWF champion Bob Backlund beats Ivan Koloff. Salvatore Bellomo defeats Johnny Roz. And the WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco beats Rocky Johnson in a Hawaiian death match. May the 15th, 1983, before we go to our mid-show break, we're back to the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia, and I don't have a attendance for this show. Tony Atlas beats Killer Brooks by DQ. Paul Orndorff defeats Larry Zbyszko. The tag team of Brian Blair, Stan Hansen, and Dick Murdoch battle Paul Ellering, the Iron Sheik, and Killer Brooks to a double disqualification. Tommy Rich teams with Ray Candy to defeat Matt Bourne and Arn Anderson. Ronnie Garvin defeats Bob Roop. Brian Blair defeated Chick Donovan and Brett Wayne, who we would find out later would be revealed as the brother of Buzz Sawyer. He would later go by Brett Wayne Sawyer, but at this point in time, Brett Wayne defeats Joe Lightfoot. All right, that's the first half of the month. Let's take our mid-show break. When we come back, we'll discuss the second half of the month, including a big match in Angle down in Southeastern Championship Wrestling, a couple of them, actually, and much, much more right after.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. WhenItWasCool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
All right, we're back for the second half of May 1983. Let's go down to the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. Don't have the attendance for this show, but we have Tony Atlas beating Killer Brooks by disqualification. Paul Orndorff defeated Larry Zbyszko. Brian Blair and Stan Hansen and Dick Murdoch team up to defeat Paul Ellering, the Iron Sheik, and Killer Brooks. I guess Killer Brooks doing double duty here. They actually wrestled into a double disqualification. Tommy Rich and Ray Candy defeated the tag team of Matt Bourne and Arn Anderson. Ronnie Garvin defeated Bob Roop. Brian Blair, again also wrestling twice on this show, beat Chick Donovan. And Brett Wayne defeated Joe Lightfoot. Of course, Brett Wayne's eventually going to be revealed as the brother of Buzz Sawyer, Brett Wayne Sawyer, but at this point in time, he's just Brett Wayne. Now we go down to Southeastern Championship Wrestling. One of my favorite angles when I was a kid was you had the babyface Austin Idol. He was preparing to meet the NWA World Champion Ric Flair. He had secured a title match with him. He was being trained, coached by babyface Mongolian Stomper. But secretly behind the scenes, off screen, the Mongolian Stomper had been paid a bounty by Ric Flair. He called it his cure for Idol Mania. While doing a promo, the Mongolian Stomper attacked Austin Idol with a chair, beat him up in storyline, broke his nose, shattered his face, and thus cost Austin Idol his shot with Ric Flair, and in so doing, become a heel. Well, Austin Idol's back now, and he's about to get his revenge on the Mongolian Stomper. He's also going to, very soon, be taking aim again at Ric Flair. So here on May 16th, 1983, in Boutwell Auditorium, which is the biggest stop for Southeastern Wrestling every week, in a steel cage match, Austin Idol defeated the Mongolian Stomper in a loser-leave-town match. And hey, this was it for the Mongolian Stomper. He never came back to Southeastern Wrestling. Only worked many years later for Continental up in the Knoxville end, but never came back to the Birmingham, Pensacola end of things. I mean, it legit, he left town here on May 16th, 1983 at the hands of Austin Idol. Now, of course, this was a Monday night. Birmingham and Memphis both ran on a Monday night. So we go back to the Mid-South Coliseum. And now attendance has dropped back down under half a house. They've got 4,803 fans there. But there are some notable events that takes place. The Colossus of Death has been unmasked as Duke Myers. So Duke Myers now teams with Bobby Eaton to beat the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, for the Southern Tag Team titles. And also on this show, Ken Patera. He comes in and beats Jerry Lawler for the international title. In your main event, Bill Dundee beats Dutch Mantell in a scaffold match. Yes, this wasn't even close to the first scaffold match. They were doing scaffold matches in the 1970s up in Memphis. But in a scaffold match, Bill Dundee beats Dutch Mantell to recapture the Southern Heavyweight title. May the 20th, 1983, a show featuring multiple World Heavyweight Champions is held in Houston, Texas. We have the WWF champion Bob Backlund beats the Wild Samoan Afa. From over in the Mid-South promotion, Junkyard Dog and Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, team together to beat King Kong Bundy and Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs. Mr. Olympia is going to go on to become a major player in Southeastern Wrestling later this year as well. The AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel beats Dusty Rhodes. Mass Superstar, who is Bill Eady, and the Super Destroyer, who is Scott Irwin. I have Bill Irwin on the timeline. I need to change that to Scott Irwin. Team together to defeat Tito Santana and Mil Máscaras. Yes, Tito Santana teaming with Mil Máscaras. Hacksaw Duggan beat Kendo Nagasaki. Butch Reed beat Rip Rogers. And Grand Marcus defeated Johnny Rich. May the 21st, 1983. Got several notes here. On TV, down in Dothan, Alabama, a wrestler named Mr. Gulf Coast beats the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair by disqualification. Seems like a huge upset, right? This guy comes out in this sparkly green mask, probably bum one of Mr. Olympia's old masks, probably. But anyway, he comes out and beats Ric Flair by DQ. Now, he unmasks himself, and you probably guessed it. It's Austin Idol. So Austin Idol picks up a TV win over the world champion there for Southeastern Wrestling. Also, on May 21st, 1983, the AWA world champion Nick Botwinkle battled Jerry Lawler to a no contest in Chicago, Illinois. In Houston, Texas, the Adrian Adonis beat Bob Orton Jr. in the finals. We talked about this some recently when I went through the May 1983 Wrestling Observer newsletter at When It Was Cool. We did that on our Patreon feed. We talked about this undisputed world championship. The belt even was a knockoff of the domed globe NWA world title. You may have seen pictures of Adrian Adonis holding this belt. In fact, I have one up on the timeline there. So that's how that came to be. He won a tournament in Houston, Texas, beating Bob Orton Jr. in the finals. The title would only be defended in the southwestern areas. Didn't go out anywhere else. And it only lasted till September this year. Never really caught on. I don't know how they got away with having this replica belt of the NWA 10 pounds of gold, but I guess they didn't get away with it because the belt really never went anywhere. Also on the same date, May 21st, 1983, the WWF is in Baltimore, Maryland at the Civic Arena. WWF in Baltimore, Maryland's Civic Arena. 8,000 people in attendance. We have Salvatore Bellomo defeating Bob Bradley. Women's match, Susan Starr and Princess Victoria defeated Leilani Kai and Fabulous Moolah. Mac Rivera defeated Frank Williams. Swede Hansen defeated Frank Marzino. Samula defeated Tony Colon. Baron Mikel Cicluna defeated Rocky Cole. This card is terrible. Afa defeated Jules Strongbow. Sika defeated Israel Matea. This match literally has nothing on it other than one match. Salvatore Bellomo won an 18-man, $10,000 battle royal. Then literally the only thing of value on this show is WWF champion Bob Backlund beat Ivan Koloff. 8,000 people in Baltimore turned out to see a jobberific show if ever has been one. Whew. May 22nd, 1983. Can AWA do us any better in St. Paul, Minnesota? I don't have an attendance, but Brad Reagans defeated John Tolos. So far, no. Kenny J beat Sergeant Rene Goulet. No. Baron Von Raschke beat Jesse Ventura. Oh, my God. There's star power, but that had to be a terrible, terrible match. Buck Zumhoff beat Mike Graham by DQ. Wow, this is just, I mean, we've hit a couple days span that you better just turn your TV off. Jim Brunzell beat Ken Patera by DQ. I say TV. Stay out of the arenas here these 2 days. Wahoo McDaniel and Rick Martel beat Nick Botwinkle and Blackjack Lanza in a tag team match. And Mad Dog Vachon beat Jerry Blackwell. May 23rd, 1983, we go to Madison Square Garden. Please save, of course, these Madison Square Garden undercards are as terrible as the rest of it, but maybe we got something on here. I don't even have an attendance for this show, which is odd. Should have been reported somewhere. WWF champion Bob Backlund beat Sergeant Slaughter by disqualification. Of course, this playing off that angle we talked about earlier. The WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco battled Rocky Johnson to a draw. Dusty Rhodes is in town. He beats the Samoan 3. That's, of course, Samula, Sam Anoa. Jimmy Snuka, who may or may not have just recently murdered somebody, defeated Wild Samoan Afa. Ivan Koloff defeated Jules Strongbow. Jay Strongbow battled Iron Mike Sharp to a no contest. See, Jimmy Snuka just made me stutter there and just can't even imagine such a thing. Going from Buck Zumhoff to Jimmy Snuka just literally made my brain lock up for a minute. Fabulous Moolah defeated Princess Victoria. Don Kernoodle, who has followed Sergeant Slaughter up to the WWF, although wouldn't work out as well for him, he beat Baron Mikel Cicluna. Salvatore Bellomo defeated Swede Hansen. Susan Starr defeated Leilani Kai. And Jose Luis Rivera defeated Pete Doherty. And we got several notes here on May 23rd, 1983. Next up, One Man Gang and Kelly Kaniski win the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team titles in a tournament in Greenville, South Carolina for Jim Crockett Promotions by defeating Jimmy Valiant and Bugsy McGraw and also the team of Mike Rotundo and Rufus R. Jones. Rick Gibson defeats The Flame, who is Jody Hamilton, for the Alabama title in Birmingham. And this is where also Ric Flair is going to face Austin Idol finally, NWA World title on the line. If you know anything about your NWA World title history, you know who won here. Wasn't Austin Idol. So Ric Flair defeats Austin Idol to retain the title. You know, I barely remember this Rick Gibson win. This is Robert Gibson's brother. Rick was in for a little while during this time period, but he wouldn't stay for long. Now, of course, this is a Monday night, as we know. We've established that's when Boutwell is. So we go up to the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis. They're back over half full. We've got 5,816 people there. So let's go through the card. Sonny King beat King Cobra. The Lone Ranger. Stan Frazier beats Mad Dog. The Galaxians, Ken Wayne and Danny Davis, your future nightmares, beat Carl Fergie and Bobby Fulton. The Bruise Brothers, Porkchop Cash and Dream Machine, beat Terry Taylor and Steve O. People in Memphis couldn't pronounce Oskanoski, and I can't either, so we called him Steve O down here. Get used to it. I think in Georgia as well. Mid-Atlantic champion Stagger Lee, Coco Ware, beat the Ace of Spades, Tommy Gilbert, in a mask versus mask match. So this is where Tommy Gilbert is revealed. The Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony, beat the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, in a no DQ match. But that was actually pretty good. Fabulous One, Steve Kerr and Stan Lane, beat the Southern Tag Team champions Duke Myers and Bobby Eaton by DQ. Dutch Mantel, still feuding with Bill Dundee, beats him in a bullwhip match to win the Southern title. And then finally, the CWA International Champion, Ken Patera, again successfully defeats Jerry Lawler. Same date, May 23rd, 1983, Jim Crockett Promotions in Greenville, South Carolina, at the Memorial Auditorium. We have Great Kabuki beating the NWA TV Champion, Joe LeDuc, to win the title. So another big title change up there. May the 27th, 1983, Wahoo McDaniel defeats the AWA World Champion Nick Botwinkle by DQ in Denver, Colorado. May 29th, 1983, the newly crowned NWA US Champion Greg Valentine defeats the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair in Asheville, North Carolina. But only the US title was at stake. Can you believe that? That's a weird bit of booking. But that's what they did. And, of course, that further, of course, you know, puts Greg Valentine in line. He was already probably referred to as the number one contender on TV. Now it's even more so. He's beat the world champion. Also, May 29th, 1983, Leo Burke defeated Johnny Weaver for the North American title in Toronto, Canada, at the Maple Leaf Gardens. On the same show, the NWA world champion Ric Flair beats Greg Valentine, the NWA U.S. champion, so he gets his win back there, I guess. May the 30th, 1983, Memphis, Tennessee at the Mid-South Coliseum. We're back under 5,000 again, but we've got some notes still. Fabulous One, Steve Kern and Stan Lane beat Bobby Eaton and Duke Myers in a hair versus title match to win the Southern Tag Team titles. And Bill Dundee beats Jerry Lawler to win the Southern heavyweight title. Finally, our last day, and we referred to this earlier. Actually, let me get one more note. This is just in general the month of May. May 1983. There's a Mr. Olympia. Of course, we know Mr. Olympia is wrestling in Mid-South right now. He's feuding with Mr. Wrestling 2. We're talking about Jerry Stubbs. He's also working periodically in Southeastern Wrestling. But you may have seen some TV from this period from Florida, and Mr. Olympia's wrestling down there as well in Florida Championship Wrestling. Well, not so fast. That is a imposter, Mr. Olympia. That is actually junior heavyweight wrestler Tommy Wright is wrestling as Mr. Olympia down there, so they kind of stole that gimmick. Now then, May 31st, 1983, we alluded to this earlier, and this is, again, if you want to hear more about it, the whole story, or at least all that's known, go to whenitwascool.com, check out one of our true crime shows about Matt Bourne. But on May 31st, 1983, Georgia Championship Wrestling co-holder of the National Tag Team Championship, Matt Bourne, is accused of sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl in Ohio. He is fired by Booker Ole Anderson and stripped of the tag team titles with Arn Anderson. Now, charges against Matt Bourne are dropped the following month after the accuser fails to appear at the trial. And here I have a newspaper article for this. This is, I think, from the Columbus, Ohio News. Matt Osborne is accused of taking the teenage girl to his room at Budgetel Motel about 1:30 a.m. Wednesday, pushing her onto a bed and molesting her. Police said the girl then ran from the room to her mother and sister, who were outside Osborne's motel door. Police said the incident occurred after the girl, her mother and sister, had offered to take Osborne's luggage to his room. Police said the teenage girl was carrying luggage when Osborne slammed the door, locking the mother and sister outside. Judge Donna Bowman set a preliminary hearing on the charge for June 16th. So when we come up next month, we'll be talking more about this. So that is May of 1983 for the long-form history of pro wrestling. Again, let me ask you, encourage you to please go to my website, whenitwascool.com. Check us out. 2,000 shows ready to go, ready for you to download right now. Not just dealing with pro wrestling history, although a significant amount is that, as a matter of fact, but also retro pop culture, old TV, movies, sports, music, much, much more. Probably something you loved as a kid is on there and reviewed and talked about. We try to do so in a fun, lighthearted, friendly manner. Some of it we love, some of it didn't stand up so well as adults, but we'll take a look at it and have a little fun with it any way you go about it. So again, whenitwascool.com, we sincerely need you to become a Patreon supporter if we are to continue the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone, and by extension, this podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you here again soon with another show.
If you liked what you heard, go to whenitwascool.com.
This is the sound of the 80s. Everybody's looking for it, and we've got it.
And hit that Patreon button.
If you'll excuse me, I need to go buy a new Cyndi Lauper CD and have myself a little cry.